Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Menachos Daf Yud Ches. We begin on the seventh line from the top of the Yomis. Ask the Gemara Kasha. So yesterday we concluded that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when a person does shechita on a korban, having in mind to allow some of the dam to stay overnight, la'niach midami l'machar, he says it's possible according to all opinions. There's no discussion, because it can lead to having in mind to have all the blood left over for tomorrow. In that case, it's certainly so. In any case, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Really? All agree? That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. All agree? There's no machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim on this matter. Is that so? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, laniach medami lamachar, in the case of a machshava v'laniach, to allow some of the blood overnight. Divrei HaKol all agree it's possible, but Tanya, we have a brisa which indicates otherwise. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, actually it's subject to dispute. It's not a matter of consensus. So we begin with a story of my Rebbe. So Rebbe relates, Kshalachti lematzos midoisei, when I went to clarify some concepts in my learning, to clarify some ideas, some concepts, Eitzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, by the Tana Elazar ben Shamua. So I came to him to learn. Rami Lossam had a different version of the wording. Rebbe says, when I went lematzos midoisav, when I went to learn from him his ideas in learning. In any case, so who did I find sitting there at the time? I found Yosef HaBavli, another Tana. Matzasa Yosef HaBavli, Yosef Lefanov, sitting in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, by Yechavu Lebi Yosef. And Yosef HaBavli was very dear to Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar was very fond of him. And they were discussing various topics, and lahalacha achas, until they got to a certain halacha as follows. Amarle, Yosef HaBavli asks Rabbi Elazar, he called him Rebbe, Hashechet es hazevech laniach medam el machar mahu. Exactly our case. He does shkitana carbon, but they plan to allow some of the dam overnight. Amarle, Rabbi Elazar responds, kosher. It's fine. That's not a reason to make the carbon, you know, puzzle. It's not pigle. He's not thinking that he's going to feed anything tomorrow or be makriv anything tomorrow. It's just laziness. He said, oh, I'm going to leave some of that overnight. So he said, it's kosher. And what happened? Actually, he asked him repeatedly. He asked him once at night, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Arvis, in the evening, Amalei kosher, Blazer says it's kosher. Shachris, in the morning, again he asked him, Amalei, yeah, kosher. Again he repeats, it's kosher. Tzarayim, midday, again, Amalei kosher. Mincha, in the afternoon, he revised it. Amalei, so Blazer says, it's a matter of machlekes. Kosher, according to the Chachamim. Ella, but, you're meant to know, there is another opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Poisel, he says it's possible. Tzav upanav shal Yosef HaBavli. So Yosef HaBavli was very excited, his face lit up. Amar le Rabbi Eliezer responds to him in surprise. He says, what's the excitement about? Yosef, he calls him, k'meduma ani shal kivananu shmoseinu ad ata. It appears to me from your reaction that whatever I said up until now wasn't qualified, wasn't true. Suddenly now you're excited. Amalei says, no, I'll tell you what's going on. Rebbe, he called him Rebbe Hain. And actually, until now was also fine. Ella, I'll tell you why I got excited. Because I once heard from Rebbe Yehuda that it's possible. And then when you said it's kosher, it started sort of, it shook up my assuredness. I wasn't sure anymore in terms of what I thought I heard from Rabbi Yehuda. Elisha Rabbi Yehuda, Pasul Shandali. Rabbi Yehuda taught me that it's possible in this case. Chazati al kol talmidav, and I went around to all his students, maybe after his passing. Humikash li chaver, I was seeking some sort of corroboration from any of, you know, his talmidim. And nobody corroborated my version of events. That in fact, Rabbi Yehuda says pasul. So I was no longer sure about my version. Maybe, you know, it's inaccurate. Maybe I forgot. But now that I heard the word pasul from you too, at least according to one opinion, there is an element. There is a possibility of psul in this case. Now that you told me pasul, oh, Baruch Hashem, you have returned to me my lost item. You have restored my clarity and my, you know, my confidence. The question is, what does one have to do with the other? Rav Elazar was just telling him that it's a machlekes, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's absolutely a puzzle. We'll get that in a minute. In any case, Zolgu in of Demois. Wow. Shor Rav Elazar ben Shemuel, Rav Elazar saw this reaction, how excited he got about just clarifying a matter of halacha. He started shedding tears. He got all emotional. V'amar, he says, Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim. Ah, they made a song. There was a tune composed about this Gemara. Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim Shedivrei Torah Chavivin Aleichem B'Yoser. How great, how fortunate are you, Talmidei Chacham, that you're so enthralled with the dearness of Torah. It means so much to you. Korolav Amikra. In fact, he applied this pasuk on him. Mo'afti Sera Secha Kalayim Sichasi. David HaMelech expresses his love for Torah. It's an all-day experience. So Rav Elazar ben Shemua responded, you know, in this manner. And then he added a point. He says, actually, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda taught you that it's possible, but you meant to know why he said it's possible. Huh? It's for the following reason. Rabbi Yehuda b'nei shel Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda, who taught you Pasul, is the son of Rabbi Eloi, right? Whose father, Rabbi Eloi, was a student, Talmid Shor Rabbi Eliezer. And that's why he simply relayed to you the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Lefichach shamelcha mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. So that's why he taught you Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, even though he himself, he didn't really go with that opinion. He was just relating to his father's Rebbe's opinion. Okay. So again, what happened here? Rebbe overheard this conversation. Yosef HaBavli was a little excited when Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua corroborated his version of events in terms of the psul that applies to a machshava sinuach damei lumachar. And the question is, these are two different angles, two different tracks. His version was Rabbi Yehuda says puzzle, finished. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's version was no, it's just quoting Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, but it's really subject to machlokes. It's not a clear cut halacha, it's not a consensus. If we're going to go back to what we said earlier, the Riyakal puzzle is naive. The Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it's a consensus, it's not machlokes. And that's how he taught it to Yosef HaBavli. So now when Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua explained that according to at least Rabbi Eliezer it's possible, but only Rabbi Eliezer, that's a totally different version. Why was he excited to hear this version, which totally did not line up with his version that he heard from Yehuda, that it's a consensus. My Why was he excited that you restored to me my lost? He was telling him now that it's a machlekes, and Yosef HaBavli's version from Rabbi Yehuda was that it's possible according to all shittos. Says the Gemara. Okay, Elamai, so what are you suggesting? The alternative would be that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's subject to machlekes. So it's all one and the same version. The Rabbi Yehuda taught him that it's kosher. Rabbi Elazar posel, it's only according to Rabbi Elazar, it's posel asnai, that's how he taught him. Yochim mai. So again, it's not going to be consistent with the wording in the Braisa. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah was explaining to Yosef HaBavli, you should know that really Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion isn't as such. He's just relating to his father's Rebbe's Shita, which is Rabbi Eliezer, Hame Pnei, right? He's explaining why, which sounds like Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah himself doesn't subscribe to this version. Why not? Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah himself also taught him that it's a machlek. So again, he's on the same page. Why was he differentiating between his version and Rabbi Yehuda's version? Ananami Plukta Kamasdinim, we're also relating that it's a machlaikas. Says the one, you know what? Elo Elam Devar Kol Pasul Es Nai. Truthfully, Rabbi Yehuda taught him that all agree it's pasul. Just umay yichzat al yavidasi. So why was he excited when Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua told him that's an achleikus, which is inconsistent with what he's hearing from Yehuda that it's divrei akoil? The har alamia shum pasul boilam, because although he didn't agree totally to his full version, but at least, he now sees an opening. Shum pasul boilam, that there's some opening, some possibility of psul, at least according to some opinions. So at least somewhat he corroborated Hillel Bavli's, Yosef Bavli's. Concept that there is a concept of psul by machshav esenuach, although according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's by consensus, it's not a machlokes. That explains why he reacted in kind. Okay, in any case, before we move on to the next Mishnah, so there's a machlokes regarding machshav esenuach. He did the shechita, planning on leaving someone about overnight. So there's a shaila whether it's a kasher or it's pasul. It's a question of whether it's a machlaikis, whether all agree that it is pasul, as we learned. So that's the halakha Mishnah. So we shift back to the process of the mincha, and there are many steps along the way. So the material is the flour and the oil. But there are several stages in the mixing process. Rashi explains, you're meant to apply the oil in three different sort of steps. Initially, you pour some oil into the kli, then the flour, then you pour some more oil as you're mixing it, and then afterwards you follow with another yitzika, it's called, another pouring of oil. Let's say you skip one of these items. Lo yatzak, lo yibalal, lo yipasas. He didn't slice up the mincha as you meant to after baking. V'loy malach, he didn't salt it. V'loy hainif, he didn't do the tenufa waving. V'loy higish, he didn't tap the kli with the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach as required. Oshe pasasan pita merubis, or the slices were too big. V'loy mashkan, or he didn't smear with oil those loaves that are meant to be smeared. So even though he skipped one of these steps, it's kshir, these aren't really critical. So kmitza is critical, haktar is, but these aren't really critical, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Now, how do you define the word layatzak? What does that mean? My layatzak. Did he skip that at all? Ilamid layatzak kla. He didn't do yitzik at all. Ikovak sibay. That's certainly critical and essential. Rashi explains because it was repeated in the Torah for emphasis to indicate criticality. So you can't say he skipped it. Ella layatzak kayin elazar. Rather, the Mishnah means lo yatzak, it wasn't done by a kohen, it was done by a zar, Yisrael, the owner, let's say. Yachi. If that's what lo yatzak means, not that it was skipped, it wasn't done by a kohen. Likewise, in the next item, lo balal. Nami, there too, you're going to say that you define it the same way. Not that it was skipped, that you can't skip it. It means lo balal kohen al zar. It wasn't a kohen, it was a zar that did it, which would indicate that if you would skip it, altogether it's possible. Ha lo balal klal psula, really, that's not really discussion on a Mishnah later on, where we conclude that mixing is not miyakev at all. It's not shishim neblolin. Mishnah says you can bring up to 60, isarin, like a pound of flour with that one lug of shemen, because technically you can mix it together, mixable. Shishim ve'echad enim lolin, but you can't bring 61 because that's too much to allow for a proper mix. Ve'havim vinavon, we had a question on the Mishnah. Who cares if you can't mix it? Even if you would skip the mixing altogether, the mission is still acceptable. The mincha is still acceptable. Ki einam nevlo, if you can't mix them together, my havi, who cares? Atnan. Why is that a reason to negate the mincha? Atnan, we have a Mishnah that lo yibalal kshera, even if you skip the mixing altogether, it's kasher. Or Rav Zeira. So you explain. Yeah. You don't need the actual blila, but the evidence works without it, but the mincha has to be suitable and ro'i for blila. Because the Torah speaks about mixing a mincha, which means that you need to bring a certain type of material, a certain proportion, a certain ratio, a certain setup that allows for mixing, even if you choose not to mix it. At least that's to be the right item, the right configuration. That's what Zera's Chiddush. Kolaroi labila. An arrangement, a configuration which is able to be mixed. So then, in bila makevas boy, the bila requirement which was not done is not critical. But if the material is not suitable for mixing, it's too much flour, in that case, bila makeves boy, the requirement to mix, which cannot be done in this case, fails the mincha. So clearly, you don't need to mix. So back to the question, our Mishnah says lo yatzak, which we learned to mean you can't skip the yatzak. It just means that it wasn't done by kohen, rather it was done by the owner. Assumingly, the next line in the Mishnah, loy balal, means the same thing. It wasn't done by the kohen, it was done by the owner, because you skip the balal, your apostle, and here we say skipping balal is kosher. Read the area, says the way you can't compare one item to the other. The way you define one term isn't necessarily reflective of the next. Hakadisa, when it says layatzak, it can mean it was done by the owner rather than the kohen. Hakadisa, the next item, loy balal, means it was skipped altogether. Each one as per its lo yatzak means lo yatzak kohen elazar, and lo balal means lo balal klal. And the Mishnah continues, oy shepasasa, oy shepasasa pita merubois kshera. Now what does that mean? He did too many slices. Hashta lo pasas klal kshera. Why is this necessary? Once we learn that even if he skips the pasas procedure, it's kosher. Wouldn't you agree that if you made the slices too big, the square is too big, it's certainly okay. I mean, you can skip it altogether. Pitim merubis kibaya. Says, well, mind pitim merubis. You're right, the word pitim merubis doesn't mean the slices are too big. Shariba bipsis. He made too many cuts and cracks. So he made little teeny pisis. Perhaps that's worse. They're not doing it at all. Everybody's emma. Another way to learn would be, it means he made the slices too big. Why even discuss this, right? By the time, perhaps I would think it's worse. No, not slicing it at all. You know, if you leave it unsliced, at least you have a full, you know, loaf or whatever. If you slice it properly, so slice properly. But this is like sort of midway. Nishtahi, nishtaher. Maybe it's worse. Perhaps I would say hasam. If you leave it intact, hasam de ikatoris chalas alein, at least you can call it a chala. But here, if you sliced it the wrong way, you've left the shore, the pour, without reaching the boat. The leiteras chalas ikas, it's no longer a chala. The leiteras psisnik, it's no longer properly, it's not properly sliced. Kamash monsa, perhaps it's worse. No, says the Mishnah, it's still okay. Now, the previously mentioned point that yitzika can be done by a non-kohen is inconsistent with Rabbi Shimon, who seems to say that a kohen only can do that. Leima masnisin, perhaps our Mishnah is a like Rabbi Shimon, the son of a brayse of Shimon. I mean, kol kohen shein irmoide va'avoide and echelik v'kohuna. A kohen who's not agreeable, he's not committed in his heart. He doesn't believe in the avoid the process, that it's divine, that he doesn't attribute importance to these things. So he's disenfranchised. He doesn't get a portion of the meat, you know, of the karbanis. Kol kohen she'inamoid ba'avoyde, ein lo chelek ba'kohuna. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ha'makriv es da mashlom mesachil ne'aron lo'itia sheikha milamana. Who gets the sheikha yamun? Who gets a part of the karban? Only a makriv, a person who's has an interest in this. Moid ba'avoyde, yeah, yesh lo chelek ba'kohuna, he has a chelek ba'kohuna. She'inamoid ba'avoyde, the person who rejects avoyde, so he loses the perks as well. Ein lo chelek ba'kohuna. Ve'ein li yalo zu. And perhaps it's only applies to the item mentioned in this pasuk, which is the bringing the dam to the mizbeach, which is the subject of this pasuk. Makriv is dam. So perhaps only that. What about if you reject other elements of the avodah? Ve'enil zu bilvad. V'enil rabbis. What about all the other 15 various types of kohen involvements, avodah involvements? How do we know he has to be committed to those two? Nine l'rabbis, here goes. All the different things that the Kohanim do. Chamesh esrei avoides. 15 types of avoides that Kohanim do. Interesting list. Hayitzika is, first item is yitzika of the oil on the mincha. There you go. So before you even continue, you see that according to Reb Shimon, yitzika is a kohen activity, exclusively for the kohen. That's going to be a kasha now, a mishnah, which allows the owner to do it. Okay, let's continue. Hayitzika is v'ablilais, the mixing with the oil. Apsisais, Right, that's the cutting into slices. Vamlichai, salting the carbonis, atnufais, vagoshis, vakmitzis, the act of kmitzis, vaktoris, burning on the mizbeach, vamlichais, that's on the birds, vakabolis, collecting the blood from the carbon, vazois, sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach, hashkoas soita, giving the soita to drink, or if it's egel, beheading the egelaruf, altas mitzera, processing the purification of mitzera with the birds, unseis kapai, right, to the birchas kainim, bein b'flim, what we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, bein b'chutz, while they're outside in the shuls, right, menayin. If a kohen is not going to be committed to these activities, how do we know he loses his perks? Tamud leima mi bnei aron. If he's part of the club, yeah, avoida amsur bnei aron. Only if he's committed to all the avoidas that are meant for the kohanim. Kol kohen sheni moedeba. If a kohen rejects any of those, ein lochelav kuna, he loses his perks. He can't get, you know, karbanos for consumption. Okay, and yitzika is exclusively a kohen activity, whereas now Mishnah seems otherwise. Rav Nachman the kasha. I'll tell you what's going on. There's no contradiction. It depends which mincha. Some require a kohen, some not. Kan b'michas kohanim, kan b'michas Yisrael. Depends if it's a mincha offered by Yisrael or by a kohen, as the Gemara explains. By a minchas Yisrael, the bas kmitzah, a minchas Yisrael undergoes kmitzah, as we learned, right? And we learned from the psukim that only starting from kmitzah forward do we require a kohen's involvement. Anything prior to that, like yitzika, can be done by Yisrael. Mikmitzah ve'elachon, mitzvah forward, mitzvah kuhuna. Limud we learn from here. Limud al yitzikah b'lila share b'zor. Anything that occurs before that, like yitzikah b'lila, even an owner can do. But the Braisa, with Rav Shimon, is talking about a michas kayhana, which has no kmitzah. Michas kayhana, the labas kmitzah, there's no kmitzah there. So this delineation, pre-kmitzah allowed to a Yisrael, post-kmitzah only a kohen, we don't have that by a michas kohen. So the whole thing needs to be done by a kohen from beginning to end. Mikara by kuhuna. See, the Yitzika needs a kohen. Ikad Amri. Another, Amri Le Rabbis. Rabbi responds, how can you differentiate between a Michas Yisrael and a Michas Kehanim? The fact is that the act of Yitzika that applies to a Michas Kehanim is learned from a Michas Yisrael. That's where it says Yitzika. So if you're learning from there, you have to import it with all its strings attached. And by Yisrael, Yisrael can do it by the Michas Kohen as well. You can't differentiate. Amalei Rabbi Michti, look, Michas Kohen Mehichas Rabbi Yitzik. How does a Michas Kohen need Yitzik at all? How do we know? Michas Yisrael from there. Okay, so got to follow those rules. Masim, just like there, Ksher Bazar, even Azar can do so. Av Hakanam Ksher Bazar, same thing with Michas Kohen. There's another slightly different version of this back and forth. Amalei Rabbi Nachman attempted to reconcile this apparent contradiction between the Mishnah, which says Lo Yatzak Kohen is okay, and Rabbi Shimon seems to say otherwise. The answer is like this: Lakasha kam binik matzais, kam she'enik matzais. Mishnah is speaking about menachos that go through kmitza. So there we know until the kmitza azar, and afterwards a kohen. Kam she'enik matzais. The Brisa is talking about those that don't need kmitza like mechas kahanim or mechas nesachim as well. There's no kmitza. Amalei Rava. So again, Rava responds in kohen michti. She'enik matzais mechas rabbi yitzik. How do we know yitzik applies to the enik matzais? How do we know? From they learn from the enik matzais where it says yitzik of enik matzais. So. It has to follow the same parameters. So it has to be kinnik matzah. It's ma'asam, it's sheir bazar. Avachanamik sheir bazar. It's kosher by azar over there. It should be kosher over here. Ela machmarata masnis nukarb shimon. So ultimately, we have to conclude that our Mishnah, which says a kohen need not be doing the tzika, rather a zar can do so, is not going to be going like the braisa. Where in fact, Rav Shimon says that tzika requires a kohen only. And we're going to see in the Gemara coming up. We don't what now comes the why, the sources for these respective opinions. Okay, so we had a Gemara today about Machshav Yisinu after was a Machlaikis, and now we have a Mishnah which discusses skipping all these different steps. Mechas could still be Kasha without him. Regarding Yitzika with a Kayin, we have a Machlaikis. All the best to you and Atzlach Rabbah.